Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And since you are listening on a Wednesday afternoon, you know it's time for our regular check-in with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hi there, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
So a couple minor sports stories happening.
Yeah, wasn't much of a week, huh?
Look, you and I spent weeks talking about the Super Bowl, and I want to ask you what your take was, because you, more than anyone that I know, loves a great sports story.
Absolutely.
And Sunday was the greatest.
It's not fair, is it, though, that Tom Brady, with all of the accomplishments that he can claim and all of the ways in which he has been celebrated over the years, and he's certainly in the conversation for greatest quarterback ever and most accomplished and all that he should also be the quarterback of the team that makes the greatest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl? It doesn't seem fair that all of this should accrue to one man.
True. Not fair, but maybe logical, right?
Well,
maybe.
You know, logical, and it brings up that wonderful conversation that you can always have in a circumstance like this, which is, did the Patriots do a magnificent job of coming back and taking over that game, or did Atlanta simply fall on its face when the game was certainly seemed to be within the Falcons' reach? And, of course, it's the sort of conversation that will never be entirely settled, but it's great fun.
And, I mean, I have to say, one of the things that we've talked about a couple times since Sunday with various folks is this idea of mental toughness, and mm-hmm. that's one of the things that the Patriots showed to, you know, the nth degree on Sunday. And I just wanted to ask you about that, because I feel like, you know, whatever you think about the NFL, whatever you think about football, athletes showing grit is inspirational for people at any level.
It's part of the recipe for winning. There's no question about that. And I thought it was especially interesting when you're watching a game on television, and they're able now, with the way television works, to get so close and the facial expressions of these guys on the sidelines. And I got to say, during a big portion of that game, Tom Brady looked as if he was just absolutely dismayed by what was going on. He did not look like grit was boiling up at that time. But when the opportunity presented itself, boy, did they take advantage of it.
Yeah. You know, my personal measure for how scary the game felt for a long time was I live in a rather densely crowded neighborhood, and it was really quiet a lot of Sunday night.
And there was no traffic.
That's right, until the great cheering at the end.
Right.
All right, well, let's move on. And I'm afraid we're going to have to inject a little bit of politics into the sports conversation.
That never bothers me. I welcome the opportunity.
Well, Patriots defensive captain Devin McCourtney, he's the second Pats player now to say that he will not be accepting President Donald Trump's invite to the White House. Martellus Bennett has also said he declined the traditional invite. Bennett says that though he won't attend the celebration, he doesn't fault any teammates who do plan to go. Here he is.
I support those guys. If whoever wants to go, I still support those guys as well. But I mean, it's just a personal belief and a personal thing for me.
So what do you make of it?
I think McCourtney's explanation was about as good as it gets. He said, I don't feel welcome there. Mm. You know, given the attitudes that have been expressed by the current president, I don't feel welcome there. Yeah. I don't see how you can be any more clear.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other hand, as we've discussed before, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Pat's owner Robert Kraft are known to be friends of Donald Trump. One would think that politics don't actually play a role on the gridiron itself, but could there be any tension in the postseason or next season?
I doubt it. I think probably everybody you've mentioned is thoroughly committed to having the team do as well as it possibly can, and everybody realizes they have to, as Bill Belichick sometimes puts it, do their job for that to happen. But I don't know Bill Belichick very well, and I don't know Robert Kraft very well, so who knows what lurks in the hearts of men.
Okay. Well, let's move on to that other Boston team, which is just getting going, because we have like a
truck day.
And today we have a few hours in which it kind of feels like spring. Not like that's going to last. So obviously, we're not going to have Big Poppy at spring training this year. He was done in October. What do you think of the Red Sox as they head towards spring training?
Well, you know, the question that some people have been asking is who is going to replace David Ortiz, yeah. Big Papi? And the answer is nobody, because his presence was so enormous. Not only was he a terrific hitter, but his personality was such that he took an awful lot of the heat off anybody who perhaps was sitting in the locker room and didn't much want to talk to the press.
Right.
You know, they could always go over and talk to David Ortiz. So nobody's going to replace him. But by all measures, the Red Sox look like they have a terrific team. My friend, a retired baseball coach who used to coach at Groton and Lawrenceville, and he wrote me a postcard the other day, and he said, the Red Sox pitching staff is obscene.
Obscene.
That's how good he
good.
Thinks it
yeah.
is, right?
Well, if Anthony Brooks were here right now, he'd be saying, Magna, Mookie Betts, swoon!
Right. They've got lots of players who've come up and who are developing into what should be the primes of their careers. And then they got some kids that Andrew Benintendi is a terrific prospect who should do nothing but get better. There's all kinds of reasons to feel very good about opening day, if it ever does get here.
It will. Trust me. It'll just take its time, but it'll get here. Let's check in really quickly with yet another big Boston team, and that, of course, is the Celtics, because Boston fans are going to say goodbye to Paul Pierce. He spent 15 years with the Celts. I love that. I love players who stick with teams, I have to say.
Yes, and it's not always something that they get to decide to do. They get traded around at the whim of coaches and owners. But, Paul Pierce's final goodbye to Boston was a three-pointer. And it was the best of all worlds because he sunk the three-pointer at the end of the game and the Celtics won anyway. And so the Celtics crowd gave him a great send-off. And this is one of the fun things about sports when a player has been on the same team for a good long time, even if he comes back as a member of the opposition.
Yeah.
And people kind of look back into their memories and they think about, oh, boy, I remember the night that guy hit a three-pointer at the buzzer or whatever it might be. And you know, what a good player he'd been for such a long time. And there is a real sense of appreciation that has nothing to do with, winning a championship. It's more of a long-term relationship kind of appreciation, and it's really quite a nice thing.
Exactly. Well, Paul Pierce himself had some words about that when he talked about all the love that he felt the city of Boston has given him over the years. Here he is.
You know, this is something I truly felt tonight, the appreciation of what I've been able to give this city and what they've been able to give me, you know, not only on the court, but off the court, too.
Yeah, he said that on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, we've got just enough time. I'd love to hear what's coming up on Only a Game this weekend.
Well, we have a basketball story about a kid who's the ball boy for the basketball team at UNC, and his dad writes about basketball for UNC. And so this kid got to be the ball boy. And when the halftime show doesn't last as long as it should or doesn't show up on time or whatever, he goes out and he takes half-court shots. And you're going to love the story on Only a Game about how his half-court shots turned out on a recent evening down in North Carolina. Okay.
Well, I will definitely be tuning in at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Saturdays. That's when you can hear Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. And he joins us on Wednesdays here at Radio Boston. Bill, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity, Magna.
You're always welcome. We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.